Well, it's certainly a joy to be together again, and I've just been refreshed this morning. Thankfully, I had the same privilege you did this morning of being able to be here and soak it up. Yesterday, I had a lot of distractions that I had to deal with, and so it's been a joy to be able to be together and soaking it in here as we ponder over the deceitfulness of sin. I hope that that really stuck out to you. Sin never delivers what it promises. Every single time, it leaves you just gutted. That's what it did for Judas. That's what it did for you. It's deceitful. So let's steer clear. Let's clear our hearts. So thankful that the deceitfulness of sin was exposed as well in terms of it, we can be cleansed from sin. What a joy. Praise the Lord for that. And also then this beautiful picture of God's beautiful plan as we just meditate on authority and all that God intends for that to be in our lives. It's truly beautiful. So we looked at the shepherd's psalm and all of that. And there were, of course, many things that I could comment on from that message as well. But I just wanted to say that I appreciate all your hearts to honor your authorities. And I am sorry that so often we let you down, we fail, we don't mean to. It's not our heart to fail you, but I know we do sometimes. And I know that hurts, and I'm sorry for that. And I'm thankful that you have chosen to continue to be honorable, even in our weakness. So bless you. God bless you for that. And I just wanted to challenge us, because Philip did it give us some practical things that you could do in 2022. What was one of the things that he challenged you to do in 2022? Somebody help me out here that has a good memory. Mine's pretty short. What was it? What was it? Yes, you go ahead. Six times a year. That's every other month. Ask your parents what they would like you to change in your life. And I'm going to ask you for a commitment here directly. So I want you to go ahead and meditate. I don't want you to raise your hand unless you will do this. But I think there should be a lot of you all who heard that this morning and said, you know what? Bless God. I'm going to do that in 2022. So we're going to give you a moment, a chance here in just a minute to raise your hand in commitment to that. And I realize that may look different in some of you, and there's some situations where you're not even at home. So I realize you won't be raising your hand. So it's not a peer pressure thing here. But if God has touched your heart this morning, there's something about your colleagues here at Bible Boot Camp. They'll help you remember. We'll see. So it's kind of a little bit of a public thing, but sometimes that's good. I've had some good things that happen in my life because I stuck my neck out in public. And then everybody helped me accomplish my goal. So it's been helpful. But while you're thinking about that, I'll just be curious here after a bit. We'll give you a chance. But just to kind of recap some things that Philip said there, go ahead and turn over in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 6. And you know this scripture well enough, you wouldn't need to turn to it. But I think you'll want to be looking at it here today, because Leonard's been warning us about false prophets yesterday. So you might want to make sure I'm reading this verse really, really well here. Ephesians. I can't even find Ephesians right now. It must be in front of people. Is it before Colossians? Yeah, I think so. Let's find. Oh, here we go. Yeah, just the first verse here. I want to read it to you. Children, make sure your parents' theology is straight in the Lord, for this is right. How am I doing there? False prophet? All right, let me try again. I messed up there. Okay. Children, young people, make sure your parents don't require anything of you that someone else in the church is allowed to do, for this is true equality. How are we doing? False prophet. Okay, all right. children, young people, make sure that your parents are not overly conservative in their application, for this is legalism. What? False. Somebody's following along. Amen. So the thing is this is a really beautiful verse here. Now we're going to take the wolf's clothing off and here. Let's just read this, what it says. Children, young people, we're all children of our parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen, there's a tremendous amount of confusion in the world, isn't there? You know, good here, or should I be, well, I don't know what to think about this, and I'm getting this input, and my peers are doing this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You can write it down. You can mark it down. There can be calm, steady peace and assurance in your heart. For this is right. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, incidentally, with promise. A lot of good things come. That it may be well with you. Do you know that God's not trying to make your life miserable by being under authority? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. See, God's got your best in mind. And here's the thing. You know, when you get a little older, and I'm starting to get a little bit older, I'm in my 30s now, you look back and you realize life was so simple. You know, you look at a baby, and you hear them grunting. You know, it looks pretty complicated being a baby, but then as you get in your teen years, you think, they have it so simple. Literally. All they do is eat and sleep, and let people cuddle them. I mean, how simple is it? But when you're a teenager, you don't always understand how simple it still is. I am amazed. I mean, I look at it because, you know, you get older. Now you're leading. You're in your own home. You know, you're a mother in your own home, and you're, wow. I mean, this child's reacting this way, and that wasn't the way the book said, and that wasn't the way the sermon said, and you know, this treatment is supposed to get this, you know, and it's. Put you on your knees, you know, and you're trying to guide your house, and it's just, wow, I mean, this, and then you look back when you're a teen, all you literally had to do was just keep a right heart towards God, a right heart towards your authority, and say, yes, Dad, yes, Mom, I think I can handle it, sure, anything else, what else would you like, amen, and you do it, you don't have to worry about, you know, is it all quite on theologically, and how, oh, I think we're getting off into too much extremism and legalism, and you know, literally, your mind is free. Oh, you can just abandon yourself to obedience and honoring. It's a beautiful life. And here's the thing. Most people frustrate the grace of God, and they spend those teenage years that could be so beautiful with such fulfilling relationships between parents and children, flowing, deep communication, heart to heart, sharing values, doing life together. With joy, and yet there's friction there because, well, everybody else is doing it, and this and that, and all the things that just come rising up to the surface. And listen, it robs you of those beautiful teen years, and you don't need it. You don't need it. So if we just get back to the Bible here, just going by the Bible here, and just children, young people, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother. It's going to be well with you. So we've been challenged with that beautiful plan, and you fathers that are here, I just want to encourage you. Now, y'all didn't hear me. Y'all are not going to hear what I say next, okay? I'm not talking to you young people now, okay? All right. But you fathers that are here, you know, when your young people come home from this Bible school and they check in with you, you know, the fact is some of us fathers are a bit insecure. It's hard to be vulnerable, too. But let's be vulnerable with our children. And where they're doing well, let's make sure we bless them. Let's follow the example of God, our Father, spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Tell them an area they're doing well when you point out something they also need to work on. Because I've heard it so many times, the testimonies, I could never please my Father. Fathers, that needs to change. That needs to change. We don't need to hear any more testimonies like that. I could just never measure up. I could never please my Father. That should not be named among those who are being made to be like God our Father, who spoke from heaven. He spoke words of blessing from heaven. Now, you didn't hear me say that, okay? So, your job is not to figure out whether your Father is blessing you enough. No! Don't you dare do that. In Jesus' name, don't you dare do that. That is not your job. To twice a month check in with, or every other month check in and see how many blessings you got. Yep, he's zero blessings. Get that guy. I don't know how I ever honor a man like that. That's not your job. It is not your job. Your job. Subject yourself. Submit yourself. Ask for input. Ask for correction. Ask for guidance. Oh. And you are on the path to a beautiful life. And not only that, but those few short years are going to be gone so soon. You'll be standing alone in a fresh way in a world of choices that you can no longer look to Dad to make. You're going to have to make them yourself. And then you'll be begging for all the advice you can get if you got your head screwed on straight. And yet you will need to make some decisions yourself. And you'll think, oh my. So thank God I learned to be under authority. Because it prepares you for life. I mean, honestly, the rough edges that God wants to knock off of you in your growing up years. Listen, if you go through your teenage years and fighting and fussing your way through, you will come out the other side and have problems in your work. You're going to come out the other side with a heart aglow. You want to go serve God in the mission field. But you will be a pain to your fellow missionaries. You want to grow up and serve God. You want to be involved in community outreach. But you'll be ineffective in your community outreach. There's all that you want to do for God will be blighted because you didn't receive some of the rough edges that God wanted to knock off. And see, here's the thing. God never does anything by accident. And He puts people in homes. Your unique home. Your unique home. Your unique home. And can we find faults in our homes? You jolly well believe we can. But listen, those very faults, listen to me. Those very faults, if you will honor God, our God who is able to turn everything out for good, God will use that to mold your character and to make you into a useful woman of God, a useful man of God, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long and prosper and minister grace all your days in the earth. So, question. Who is willing to commit to checking in with your parents six times this next year, 2022. Good, nice and high. Go ahead, nice and high. So everybody, okay? Now just one moment. We'll hold it there. We'll just meditate. Okay, all right. But I'm sorry. This is Philip's job. What did you say? I don't ask for... By the way, I'm not an elder. I'm a younger servant. Okay, so anyways. Yes. Okay, you heard the question. Does it have to be every 2 months? Can it be every 6 months? Or should I do 2 months? You tell me. This is your.
I have to twice. I'm sorry, six times a year.
Okay. You'll have to ask a question. You can come up and ask it if you want. Okay. All right. I'm gonna be under his authority. Okay. He said to ask that. How many of you are gonna check in with your pastors? Okay. Bless you. Thank you for that. All right. We saw it. We heard it. God bless you. Let me just pray. Father, Lord, I believe heaven is moved. God, I pray that you bless these tender hearts that want to be under authority, that want to check in with their parents, that want to check in with their pastors. And Father, I pray that you'd make 2022 a beautiful year of prospering in your grace. I pray that the relationships Where there's been tension, God, I pray there'd be freedom. Where there's been walls, I pray there'd be bridges. God, would you just look upon those resolves that were expressed here this morning. And Father, I pray that you would just bless each of those hearts. Father, I pray that you give them beautiful. And I know some of them are already there. Many of them. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. But Father, it's a holy sight. Father, I pray that your divine blessing would rest upon each of their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So our topic for today is purpose and singlehood. We're talking about lives of purpose this week. And we want to today look at purpose and singlehood. And I want to address this because it's been on my heart for some time. Because different ones of us are single for different lengths of time in our life. And if that time, whatever length it is that God in His providence asks you to be single or allows you to be single, if that could be lived full of purpose, what kind of lives could we live? Just what could God do with us if in our single days we live lives just packed with purpose? And we looked yesterday how God is a God of purpose. And Jesus lived in just a life packed with purpose and meaning. And how that we are created in the image of God. And that we function best when we have purpose. And that lives of purpose are really lives of joy and lives of fulfillment. And I challenged you to have your own personal Mein Kampf. And I suggested that the highest purpose is the purpose to know God and to make Him known. And that resonated again last evening through Brother Benjamin's message. And we also talked here on the board, we had a circle how that there can be misplaced purposes and all the outworkings that happen when our purposes are misplaced. And so today we want to look at purpose and singlehood. And I want to just admit right up front, this is a very sensitive topic. But if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to do some reading here in the Scriptures today, so I want you to follow along. I don't think we're going to read it quite yet, but we're going to jump in here in verse 25 here in a few moments. It's a very sensitive subject because singlehood is not always a choice. Some are not married who would wish to be. And that's not all easy. There are also people who are married, but because of the challenges they've experienced, they wish they were not. And you don't hear a lot about that because it's not kosher to really talk about. So this is a sensitive subject. First, I think we need to just realize that before we read this scripture, that marriage is good and it is God's idea. And it is God's plan for many people. But it is not God's best for everyone. Some of us, God has not yet brought a marriage to pass. And some of us, He's not brought it to pass yet. And that is His choice. And we contest with the same devil who's been around since the beginning. And keep your finger there where you are. But if you remember back to Genesis chapter 3 in the beginning, soon after marriage was designed, the serpent was talking to a lady there in the garden. And it was Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And what you see here in this conversation that the serpent had with Eve was there was something here, this forbidden fruit, that that really looked good, and yet God was keeping it from her. And he used that to subtly, or not so subtly, insinuate that God is holding something back from me. And brothers and sisters, that is a challenge sometimes that we face in our different stations of life, different states of life that God calls us to. And sometimes in singlehood, the enemy would come and say, "God is holding something back good from me," where we doubt his character, we doubt his goodness. And those are a real challenge. But I want us to be assured here today that God is a giver and that he's never a taker. Though he calls grief, he will have compassion. He doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. God is a giver. Whatever he asks you to do in life, whatever he provides for you, whatever he calls you to, I want you to rest assured you can say no to the enemy's lie that God is holding something back from me. He's not. God never holds back anything that's for your good. God is a giver. He is never a taker. You can write that down. God is a giver. Anything he ever asks you to give up, it's not because he's keeping something back. It's only because he wants to give you something better. You know, and the fact is that we are all single for different lengths of time. And one thing that's important in finding purpose in singlehood is that God wants us to learn to find joy and fulfillment in our present condition. Let me say that again. God wants us to learn to find joy and fulfillment in our present condition. Now, Paul said in Philippians 4, not that I speak in respect of wants, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That is a learned way of thinking, a learned behavior, transformed, what does the scripture say? Be renewed in your mind. It's a renewed way of thinking. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And now, in English, sometimes you can be content, but you can kind of be, you know, like pretty downcast. Like, well, I'm trying to be content. You know, it's frankly been tough, but I'm trying to be content. But one of the things that's interesting about the word content in French, which is the word content in English, it's the word for happy. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be happy. Amen. See there, now we're getting somewhere. Now we're on track. This is what Paul, I don't think Paul had time for his, I mean, it wasn't that he said, yeah, I'm learning whatever state I am or with to be content. No, he was a man who experienced joy, purpose, happiness in whatever state he was. I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be très content. Very happy. I mean, that's the idea of this word. It's not just somebody sitting there pouting and saying, all right, to me, there's happiness here. There's joy. And that's what God wants us to learn in our present condition. And many of you students are single here this morning. And God wants you to learn in your singlehood joy and fulfillment in your present condition. Now we want to read our scriptures here. It's kind of a long passage. But Paul really just takes some time to look at the subject. And we're going to, too. 1 Corinthians 7, we're going to start reading in verse 25. And we want to point out some relevant points as we go along here. Verse 25 through 40. That's a lot of reading. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath attained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress, I say, that's good for a man so to be. Saying there was, basically saying here, for the present distress, there was a time, whatever they were experiencing at the time, actually being single was a blessing. That's what he said here. It's good for the present distress, I say, that it's good for a man so to be. So there are times in life when being single has some serious advantages here, according to this verse. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, notice the next words here. You don't always hear these at a wedding sermon very much. Such, maybe you do, I don't know. Such shall have trouble in the flesh. Did your Bible say that too? Such shall have trouble in the flesh. It'd be fascinating if we went around the room here, some of the married people, and just try to get a poll, try to understand what that might mean. Anyway, it'd be interesting. Maybe you should ask, hey, there's a good, try to figure out what you're going to talk to your pastor about next time, in the next month. Maybe you could ask him about that or something. I don't know. But anyway, so, but this touch shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, that it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. What we see here is a reality. We see eternity is real to this man who's writing this. This is what God wants us to get, that really it's not about the externals of our life, because it's so transient, so temporal. But I would have, verse 32, but I would have you without carefulness. Notice that word, without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There's difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, hath so decreed in his heart that he would keep his virgin, doeth well. So then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord, but she's happier. Speaking of contentment, she's happier if she so abide after my judgment. I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So we'll pause our reading there because we're at the end of the chapter and it kind of, it's a good break there. But a few things I'd like to point out, and we'll be looking at different things in the Scripture as we go along here. But on this whole thing of contentment, if you have not learned joyful, contented fulfillment as a single person, marriage is not going to fix it for you. It's not. You're going to be looking to somebody else to fill some need in you that only God can fill. Now, marriage is a beautiful thing. Trust me. It's a beautiful thing. But it's not the only thing. And the Scripture elevates. It elevates almost to the point of where, Paul seemed like he had a pretty high esteem of this whole thing called singlehood. But anyways, so the key, what we need to learn in our purpose in singlehood is learning to live a joyful, contented, fulfilled life as a single person. And here's the thing also, we see here in these verses we just read, there are definite advantages to being single. In some ways, we can be more free as single people to be more useful in God's kingdom. We're able to totally focus on serving the Lord. You see that there in verse 32 through 34. It says, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married, care for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. So, and the same is true for a lady. Same thing. You know, she's no longer free to just drop whatever she's doing. You know, there's little children at the house. You know, you don't just, oh, there's a need somewhere in the world, somewhere in the community. Well, let me go. You know, there's things you got to consider. You know what I'm saying? You got to make sure that you're not neglecting your children or your spouse. And so but there's a tremendous freedom that you have as long as God wants or asks you to be single. There's tremendous freedom, and it's okay to just to recognize that and be thrilled with that and give yourself to those opportunities. Totally focusing on serving the Lord. You're able to you're more free to enter a dangerous mission field without a lot of concern about who you're going to leave behind. You're more mobile. You're able to pick up. Paul was like that. I mean, he just, you look at his life, and it was just one continual missionary journey. I think it would look a little different. I mean, I think God would have used him. I think Paul would have been a tremendous man. But it would have been a little bit more challenge to pull Paul's life off if he'd have been looking after a family. It's just the way it is. And so there's advantages in mobility. You know, and I think it goes without saying, but I think I need to be honest in this context here. There are advantages of being married. There's deep companionship. And we were made in so many ways to feel the desire for that. There's also one of the advantages of being married is that it actually helps us overcome our selfishness. Here's a confession. Y'all ready for some confession? I was pretty unselfish at 23, and then I think I was 24 when I got married. I had gained a lot of selfishness in that last year. I didn't realize it, but I found that. I mean, from 23, I was just pretty much a servant. I mean, I was just a servant in the kingdom of God. Well, I got married at 24, and oh my, I was one selfish guy. But it took marriage to really bring that to the surface. I was super selfish. Didn't have a clue. Okay, I really didn't go downhill, I don't think. I just think I just became aware of the selfishness that lived within. And so that's an advantage. But pity the poor girl. That's the problem. You know what I'm saying? Whew, my, bless your heart. You know, it's not easy. But anyway, so I had that's an advantage of marriage. It actually helps us to grow up in some ways. You know, there's a blessing of serving as a team, serving God together, sharing life's joys and sorrows. Those are definite advantages of being married. And we don't want to minimize those here today. But we're talking about purpose and singlehood. There are also definite advantages in being single. Is that okay to say here? You all okay with that? Can we be honest? And here's the thing. I want to say this to you as we think of purposefulness, purpose and singlehood. I also want to tell you this. You know, you've heard this thing so many times. As a rule, man's a fool. I've said that here before. When it's hot, he wants it cool. When it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what it's not. So there's something in our nature that while we're single, and there's such an opportunity, there's so many opportunities to serve and be a blessing in our families. Amen? Families. In our church. In our community, in our mission fields. But too many times people are not really able to be a blessing because they're daydreaming about some fairy tale in the future. It's sad to me. And when I talk about purposefulness and singlehood, purpose and singlehood, I'm seeing single people who say, hey, right now I have a unique opportunity. I don't know how long it's going to last. If God changes his mind on this, you better believe I'm in, but as long as I've got this opportunity in front, I am going to go for it. I'm going to apply myself. Amen? I want to read you a story in this book. How many of you have read this book yet? Oh, it's called Tech Talk by Gary Miller. Okay, a couple of y'all. I want to read you a little. This is an ancient French tale. I want to tell you, I want to think about this as we think about the tendency of man being a fool, you know, pining about what is not, living in the past. That's another thing. Okay, so people live in the past or they live in the future and miss the moment. Listen to this story, The Magic Thread. There's an ancient French tale of a young boy named Peter. You didn't know there was a book about you, did you, Peter? But there is. There's an ancient tale, French tale of a book about a young boy named Peter. Not a book about Peter. Peter liked to daydream. Anybody here like to daydream? Anybody over here like the daydream? Anyways, he was always longing for something. In the winter, he longed for the joys of summer. In the summer, aren't there advantages to summer? Yes, there are. But anyways, when it was wintertime, this guy was dreaming about summer. And well, I lost my place. Sorry. And in summer, guess what he's dreaming about? Anyone want to guess? Winter, because you can skate and you can sled. And excitement for Peter was always just around the corner. I would just today's today, boring old today. But oh my, what's it going to be like this winter? Now it's the winter and we got to stay inside and all the problems. Put wood on the fire. I can't wait till summer. It's going to be just fresh air and running around barefoot. Anyway, so one day he was walking in the woods and Peter met an old woman. She offered him a tiny silver ball with a golden thread protruding from a hole. The woman explained that this golden thread was his life. And if he didn't touch the thread, his life would continue as normal. But if he wished to have the time pass more quickly, all he needed to do was pull the thread and an hour would pass just like a minute. However, the woman warned, use the thread carefully, for once the thread is pulled out, it can never be pushed back in again. Peter took this precious gift, but for a while he was afraid to use it because of the woman's warning. But one day, while struggling through a boring arithmetic class, don't you just love those? A boring arithmetic class in the present. Peter was scolded for not paying attention. That makes it even worse. In frustration, he reached into his pocket and gave the thread a tiny pull. Instantly, he found himself walking home from school. He was overjoyed. Imagine how easy life would be. Excited with his discovery, he began to give tiny tugs whenever he faced something difficult or monotonous, and this worked wonderfully. Before long, he began to give larger tugs and found himself rushing through larger portions of his life. Like, why waste time doing things I don't like? He said to himself. Why not pull the thread a little harder and get done with school? And why wait to get married? Skip all this boring stuff. Peter continued to follow this pattern. When confronted by hard things, he escaped with his magic thread. Occasionally, he became alarmed when he realized how fast his life was passing. But the habit had become strong, and he found it hard to endure difficult situations when relief was just right there in his pocket. One day, reality hit him. His wife had white hair, and her health was failing. His children were gone from home, and he couldn't get around like he once did. He was suddenly filled with remorse for all the time that had passed. Looking back, life seemed an empty existence. By allowing impatience and discontentment to rule, and skipping large segments of his life, singlehood, Peter had robbed himself of life's richest moments and memories. And now it was impossible to turn back time. To turn time back. One day, using his cane and shuffling his way through the forest, he met the same old woman who had given him the silver ball. With only the grave to look forward to now, Peter had stopped pulling the thread. You can imagine. He spilled out his regrets to the woman. He had wasted his life and pleaded for the woman to take back the ball. As the ball was returned, Peter suddenly found himself waking up from his dream. To his shock, he was still a young boy, and his mother was shaking him and telling him to hurry so he wouldn't be late for school. He jumped out of bed in relief, and this is how the tale ends. As Peter walked to school, he noticed what a bright summer morning it was. No longer dreaming about winter. Well, the kind of morning, it just felt good to be alive. Soon he would see his friends and classmates, and even the prospects of a math lesson didn't seem so bad. In fact, he could hardly wait. So here's a perspective. See, it's how often we fall into Peter's mindset. It's like the present is somehow boring. And what we don't realize is there's something of God in this moment. I could go down through every blessed one of you right here. Every one of you. There's something that God wants to do in your life in this moment. In this moment, every one of you, in this moment, purpose in singlehood. There's purpose. It's not a boring math lesson. It's preparation for life. You know, the days of your singlehood, whether they're short or whether they're long, that's God's choosing for many of us. And it is the most important time It is the most, it's not a time where you jerk the string and get through it real quick to the real things. No! It is the most important time for laying a foundation of knowing God. Knowing God, that's the time that you lay that foundation and lay it deep. Be in the Word. Be in fasting and prayer. Get to know God in the days of your singlehood when there's so little responsibility and so much opportunity. Go for it. Purpose in singlehood. It is a time like none other. Okay, we're going to raise some more hands here in a minute. See if I'm right on this one, some of you people who have been down the road a little bit. It is a time like none other for seeking God. How many of you have found that your schedule has become more free for seeking the Lord as you've started raising a family? Go ahead and raise your hand nice and high back here. Turn around, young people, and look. Or nice and high. I'm not seeing it yet. Nice and high. Okay, all right. Put your hands back down. All of you who raised your hands, put them back down. All right, so the thing is nobody stuck their hand up, because the reason is this is a time like none other. None other. You will never have as much free time. Do you think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing. So right now, just take those opportunities. I know you work. I know you've got things to do. I know you serve in your home. God bless you. Those are wonderful opportunities. That's wonderful. Go for it. But find those little slots of time. Little slots of time. And get in the Word. Get to know God. Knowing God. Let that be the consuming purpose of your life. That I may know Him in your singlehood. You know, the thing, I have to say something, because there is another side to this coin. And I'm going to talk more over here. Okay, so talk about daydreaming over here. I'm going to talk over here a little bit. Now, there are some people, and as our world goes on, there are people who, just out of sheer carnality and sheer laziness, postpone marriage just so they can goof off longer, travel more, blow more money, and have a bigger party. And I'm telling you that none of your pastors appreciate that. It's time to grow up. It's time to seek God. It's time to be serious about your future. And if all you're wanting to do, and I trust this doesn't apply to you, so I'm going to speak out here to somebody, probably somebody that's not even here. But if all you want to do is just be carnal and goof off in life, probably the best thing you can do is just go ahead and get married as quick as possible. That'll give you a real wake-up call. As you realize some of how you've been doing it, it'll wake you up. I don't think that applies to anybody here, thankfully. But if it does, somebody listening in maybe today needed to hear that. But here's the thing. Pity the poor girl who's got to wake Mr. Nobody up out here. Pity the poor girl. But here's something. I can tell you how to be that girl. You want to be that girl that has to wake him up out of his carnality, his selfishness, his ego? I got some tips for you. Really focus in on your hairdo, okay? That's going to get it. Make sure you got a seriously elaborate hairdo. Pretend just for a moment, for several years, that you really are ashamed that you wear a head covering. You know, just pretend. I know you're not. But just pretend you are, and try to shrink it down and make it as invisible as possible. And maybe, you know, put something on the back of your dress or vest or whatever it is, just so you can cinch it down real good, show how much weight you've really lost, and just, you know, because you want to be attractive, you know. That's how you make sure you line up, because that's the kind of girl Mr. Wake Up is going to be looking for. So just chalk that up for information. If you wanted to help him out, that'd be a good way to go about it. But I trust there again. I think that was for somebody out here. Amen, girls. That was for, I don't know who's listening today. Bless their hearts. Trust it wasn't anybody here. But just take a note. Okay, just take a note. Whereas if you have an interest of, well, this is getting deep. We're talking about singlehood. All right, let's get back on track here. Singlehood. We got to wind this thing down. Singlehood. I wish that each one of us would just consecrate our lives to God in singlehood. I mean, as long as He directs us in that, or leads us, or allows us, or forces us, whatever case our situation is, let's let the time of our life where we're single be totally consecrated to God. Oh, Lord, let us consecrate ourselves to the Lord. Let us surrender marriage to the Lord. And let us surrender where we serve to the Lord. Tips for young men. Beware of riches, you single young men. Beware of riches. Young men who are single usually have lots of disposable income, and that goes into their clothing and their cars and their vacations. Invest your money into something that has real ROI, real return on investment, by giving liberally to the church and her needs. Give to where it pinches, where it cuts out your clothing, your cars, and your vacations. There's many things that I won't get into for the sake of time, but just a few points. I want to say, be generous with your time in serving the church, young men. Be punctual in meetings. You don't have a lot of children to get dressed at this point, so there's probably a good chance you can make the meeting on time. And if you get there in time and some of the dads are struggling, be merciful. There's a lot that goes on in getting family ready sometimes. Get your own heart involved in beating with the brotherhood. Amen? And volunteer for foreign work. Yes, that's what I said. Volunteer for foreign gospel work. I'm glad we're going to send some people off next Sunday. Praise God for that. What a joy. Some tips for the singles, for the single sisters as we wind down. You know, I've talked a little bit about the opportunities we have to serve. I want you to know you're not a borrowed mule. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we feel that way, right? I say we, right? I'm really in the boat with you, right? So, you know, we feel like a borrowed mule. I mean, God made us, you know, wanted us to be single for all these years just so He could work us like a borrowed mule. I mean, all this work, I mean, opportunities to serve and serve. But it's also important for you to know that you're special to God. Amen. Marriage is actually a picture of Christ in the church. It's a picture. But you, each one of you, can experience the real deal. That closeness. Knowing that you are His, accepted, loved, desired. There's purpose. Yes, He's got a work for you to do. But don't forget to revel in His presence, to find joy in your Father in that way. You're not just a borrowed mule. You learn to revel in God's love. You're His. You're precious. And you matter to Him. We need spiritual sisters, single sisters, who can direct conversations to edifying topics. We need people who can go deep with hurting young people. We need people, sisters, who offer their services to the outreach coordinators, to the servant body. There's so much that needs to be done in the church. Offer your assistance. Busy moms, you could drop by, lend a helping hand, make a big difference in 2 hours. It would just make a whole difference in that whole day. And I'm going to tell you somebody to be on the lookout for, just between me and you and the fence post. Look for moms. Try to help out some moms who don't have moms in the church, okay? Just help some moms. Drop by and just care about some moms who don't have moms or sisters in the church, especially, okay? Jot that note down there. Get to know their children. Offer to help out. Drop in and help them out for a little bit. You have a love for children. God bless you with that. It's not your own at this point. But dump some love on some young children. Stop by and do it. I think you young sisters, you single sisters, can be involved in evangelism and are also in world missions. There's so many women in heathenism that are only reachable by spiritual ladies. We men sometimes stand on the doorpost and watch them shrink in fear. And you ladies can walk through that door. It's powerful. But we need to know our God if we're going to do that. There's so many opportunities, so much purpose in singlehood. Team up with the servant body. I just wanted to point out one good example. A good example is worth 1,000 words. And I just want to point out Miriam here, Sister Miriam. I believe she's been a good example. I see her sometimes pulling aside some of the younger ladies and just caring about them, talking to them about their lives and what's been going on there. And I remember one night, we were going to the hospital, and Miriam called my wife and just spoke some words. And my wife was not even able to respond, but she was there on the phone, just caring. And then later, or not later, but a different time, my wife was experiencing some deep difficulties, you know, and somebody dropped in, and it was Miriam. And other people did too. I'm not trying to lift one up above another, but I'm just saying, here's somebody who has purpose in singlehood. And that's a good example. And I just want to point that out. We have good examples around us. And wherever God has you, I know it's not always easy. And there are challenges wherever we are in life. And life is not never going to be without challenges. But right now, whatever state you are, let us therewith be content. And let however long God chooses in His wisdom to have you being single, let it be filled with purpose. God bless you.